every once in a while it becomes necessary for us as a church to reintroduce ourselves for two reasons. One is this: we do have, you know, praise God, we do have new people connecting with us and kind of visiting with us, maybe tiptoeing into this thing, trying to explore what's this hope thing all about. And so for those of you who are newer to our church, those of you who have kind of tiptoed your way in or kind of like testing the waters here, we want to introduce ourselves for the first time to you. Give you a sense of who we are, a greatest sense of who we are. I mean, you've come here, you've been here for a few Sundays, maybe you get somewhat of a sense of who we are, but I want to take some time to really talk about it, tell you who we are as a church and what we value. For those of you who have been with us for a long time, you feel like, well, I don't need to be reintroduced to the church. I've been part of this thing for like 6 years. Well, here's the thing. We need to, and this is important, we need to remind ourselves who we are as a church, the work that we've been called to, and what we're all about. We need to remind ourselves of these things, because if we don't, we can very easily become complacent. We can very easily, some of y'all are nodding your heads, you know this, we can very easily get too comfortable and slip into a, well, it's just business as usual type mentality, going through the motions. Well, we do a worship service and we sing some songs and we do this. No. We can't grow complacent. As soon as a church begins to get too comfortable is when the church begins to die. So we don't want to see that happen. We believe that God doesn't want to see that happen. We don't want to see that happen. So we're reintroducing ourselves. And so for those of you who've been around for a while, this is a reminder. For those of you who are new to the church, we want to introduce ourselves to you. One of the things that I really appreciate about our congregation, and it's, you know, I really had no say in this. God just brings us people. And it's like, hey, here we are. But one of the things I appreciate is the fact that we've got people from a lot of different backgrounds in this room right now who have made Hope their home, their church home, okay? And so right now we've got people who are coming from a background where you had like little to no church in your life. I mean, maybe your parents took you to something a long time ago and made you do something, but really, you've never really had a church, and this is your first church experience. And for those of you, if that's true for you, that's awesome. We're so grateful that we are your first church family, and we love that, and we are absolutely positively here for you. We want to be the church that's open to people who have no idea what this Christianity stuff is about. I mean, that's why we're here. And so we also have people that have varying levels of church experience. We got some people coming from Catholic backgrounds, some people coming from Protestant backgrounds, and within the Protestant branch, there's like more denominations that I can count. We've got people who are coming out of settings where on a Sunday morning you'd walk into a place and you'd smell incense and you'd hear kind of chanting, oh, I can't do it. But you know, you'd do that and you'd see the stained glass windows and there'd be a kneeling place and there'd be a very, very, I guess you could call it a traditional type thing. I don't know if that's the best word for it, but you know, one of those environments. We've got people here connecting, and you've been a part of a church, or maybe it was more like an auditorium type thing, and there was lots of lights, and there was sound, and there was a band, and there was all that kind of stuff, and maybe you're coming from that kind of experience. But again, we've got all these different people with different backgrounds, and somehow God is bringing us all into the same page and understanding who He is, what's important to Him, and what we need to be as His church. And so there's all these different, my background, and I've told you a little bit, I was in a Protestant church, and I guess you would call it like a traditional thing where we sang hymns. What makes a hymn different from a song? Is it just like it's old, so it's called a hymn? Is that how it works? I don't know how it works. Anyway, but, and I don't understand how like church music works. I don't really just get that whole world. But I feel like, and this is just my perception, I feel like at some point along the way, maybe it was like in the 70s, some Christians got together and said, hey, we need to update our songs because it's been like 100 years since anybody wrote a song about God. Let's update some songs. And so there came this phase of like contemporary Christian music. That's what it was called, right? Which is always dangerous when you call something contemporary because 5 years later, it's what do you call it then? Just old? Anyway, so there were songs that came out like, this is going into the 80s, like, Lord, I lift your name on high. Was that like 90s? Lord, I lift your name on high. Remember that? And if you like that song, that's fine. You're allowed to like it. It's not like the most complex thing, and some people kind of think it's corny, but whatever. And so those songs started happening. I remember being in, you know, growing up in the church, being in that traditional church setting where we had an organ and an organist. You guys know, have you heard of that instrument? It's like very powerful. We had an organ or an organist attempting to play, Lord, I lift your name on high, on the organ. This just doesn't work. This isn't who we are as a church. This isn't working for us. And so, but a lot of churches were trying to like go through that kind of an identity shift. It's like, well, do we forget hymns? Do we move into different music? What are we about? And how important is that to us? How important is that kind of stuff to us? Now, when you look back, And I know this is a radical idea. If you look back to what the Bible has to say about church, to what how Jesus spoke about church, by the way, he didn't say much about it. But what the New Testament says about church and what it is and what it's supposed to be, how much do these things matter? What you'll discover when you look to the Bible is that there is a whole lot of freedom. A whole lot of freedom concerning how we go about the business of being a church. There's no specific, well, you can't sing any song after written after this date. No. There's a whole lot of freedom about where you meet and how often you meet. There's a whole lot of freedom there. And so one of the problems that we have is kind of Christians and churches, sometimes we're like overly critical of other churches. Well, you sing songs that are too modern, your songs are too old, or you meet in a theater and it's kind of smelly, or you do this. We can be so overly critical of one another, but we need to go back and appreciate the fact that when it comes to what the Bible says about church, there's a lot of freedom of what we can do and what we can be about. However, the Bible makes one thing clear. There is one thing that we must be about. A lot of things that we can be about, one thing that we must be about. So let's take a look at one of our favorite passages of all time here at Hope. If you've been with us for a while, you've heard this passage about 147 times, I think. We keep coming back to this passage, and it's not by accident. It's an important revelation to us. And so to give you some context about what Brindy read, it was Acts chapter 2. And so here's where we are in the timeline of Scripture and God's timeline and human history, where we are. So here's where we are. The crucifixion of Jesus has happened. The resurrection of Jesus has happened. And before his crucifixion, Jesus taught his disciples many things. He revealed to them the true nature of God. And before his crucifixion, Jesus explained to his disciples why he was going to the cross. They didn't fully understand it, but he explained it to them. And so Jesus had warned his disciples or prepared his disciples. He had told his followers that what he was doing in the world was something new. He was bringing a close to the old covenant. He was putting a cap on the old way of doing things, the Old Testament law, if you want to think of it that way. He was fulfilling it, putting a cap on it, and then beginning something new, beginning something brand new. And let me tell you, there was a whole lot of confusion over that. And there still is to this day. All right? That he put a cap on the old, and there's respect for the old, and there's an understanding of the old, and there's importance in the old, but there was a fulfillment of the old and the launching of something new. And so Jesus explained that to his disciples, and this new thing, this new revelation, God was showing us that he loves not just one little group of people, one nation, not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, but he loves all people, for God so loved the world, all of us, Jews, Gentiles, regardless of your background, that he sent his son Jesus into this world to be a savior for all who would accept him as that. And so Jesus does this mysterious, wonderful, overwhelming thing. He takes our place. He dies on the cross for our sins. Then he is resurrected. And before he ascends back into heaven, before he goes back home to the Father, he tells his disciples, now you got to go into the world and tell people what's up. You got to go into the world and reveal the truth to people. That's really what you got to tell people this story. Tell them this history. Because without anybody telling, we would never know. We wouldn't just know intuitively, you know what, I think God, maybe at some point in history, he sent his son to be, I just feel like that. No, we need someone to tell us and record that history and relay that to us. And so those first followers of Jesus, eventually they became known as Christians. They took that title on. They shared that story with that generation, with Jews and with Gentiles. They revealed that. And so we have this whole thing in the book of Acts. Did you ever read the book of Acts? Did you ever read that thing? Oh, you should read it. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be like over a year before we get to that in our chronological reading. You can cheat. You can start reading in advance. The book of Acts is awesome because it's the story of how the church starts. It's the birth of the church. It's awesome. And what you'll read in the book of Acts is you'll read about all the awesome mistakes that we human beings made when it came to being the church and living that out. And what you'll read about is the awesome way that the Holy Spirit worked through imperfect people to do an amazing work. And so here we are. The beginning of Acts, it's just chapter 2, and how the church is growing and how it's developed and what is it. This is like a wonderful, simple overview description of what the church is, what the church is supposed to be. What does it say? All believers were together, and they met together on Sunday mornings for an hour, and they listened to some dude talk, and they heard announcements from Real Deal and Sean Higgity. What does it say, all right? What does it say there? All the believers got together and they kneeled at certain times and they stood up at certain times and they all read unison reading. Now, what does it say? All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone. There was a taking care of each other. There was a taking care of each other that happened. And every day, that must be a misprint. Oh, did we get that wrong in the bulletin? Shouldn't that say once a week? What does that say? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, this was back in the day where they were still welcome at the temple. Eventually, I mean, that wouldn't last long. Eventually, the dudes who ran the temple were like, you can't, this is a whole separate thing. You can't do this here. But at this time, they still could meet at the temple court. It was a public space, right? Did they have to rent it? Did they have to fill out a facility form? Are we allowed to? I don't know how it worked. But they were allowed to meet there, and so they did. They broke bread in their homes. They got together as groups, large groups, small groups. They met in each other's homes. Can you do that, by the way? Aren't you supposed to meet like at your church facility? I don't know. Somebody should have told them that. They broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And consequently, here's what happened. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's a lot of things that a church can be, but the one thing that we must be is a community. A real community, an authentic community. There's a lot of things that we can do as a church. There's a lot of awesome works that we can be about, and we can engage in different kind of social justice issues. We can and we should, and we can engage in lots of, you know, trying to help the poor and trying to help those who are needy. We can do that, and we should. But the work that we must do is we've got to be, and this is a lot, guys, we've got to be the revelation and the incarnation of the gospel. We got to be the revelation and the incarnation of the gospel. Ooh, look at our note takers jotting that down. Good for you. We got to be the revelation and the incarnation of the gospel. What does it mean? It's up to us to reveal the truth to other people. Not just stuff. It's not about just like kind of sharing. Well, here's my book. No. We have to share the history. Here's what happened. God, this is something that happened in history. God sent his son into the world. That son is Jesus. He is God. He's the son of God. I know it's complicated, but it's true. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And I know that's mysterious, and I know it's tough to understand, but it happened. And then he rose from the dead. And I know that's tough to believe, but it happened. And there's so many sources that confirm this happened historically. We need to be the revelation of this and the implication, what this means, that God loved us so much that we can receive salvation when we put our trust in what Jesus has done for us. We need to be the revelation of that. We also need to be the incarnation of that. We can't just say it. We got to live it. We can't just live it. We got to say it. We need to be the revelation and the incarnation of that. And the story of Acts and the story of the New Testament is the story of followers of Jesus trying to live this out, trying to figure this out. And thank God for his Holy Spirit, because we never would have got it right on our own. Amen? That's the story of Acts, and that's what we're supposed to be about as a church. In a word, community. Community. You know, what's our name as a church? We're Hope Community Church. That's actually redundant. Did you realize that? It's Hope Church. We just call it Hope Church because a church is supposed to be a community of believers. Now, the thing about community is this. Real community, like really getting to know each other and really being like on the same page and really supporting one another, that takes time. That's an investment. And if you look at the frequency with which this group of people committed to being together and sharing their lives together, I mean, they were meeting on a regular basis. Something was going on every day. There was an opportunity every day for people to get together. And I don't know how formal it was. I don't know how many church-sanctioned events they had. I don't know if they had a bulletin or a website or they put it up on the bulletin board and say, here's what's going on. Or if it was just believers getting together, sharing together, praying together, crying together, celebrating together. On a regular basis, think about the kind of community that you've experienced in your life. You've probably experienced community. Maybe it was on your sports team, right? And you all get together that first day, and nobody knows each other, and you're not as good as some of the other team players, and you get together, and you don't even know each other's names yet. By the time that season's over, you know each other. Maybe you can't stand each other, I don't know. But you know each other, and you've worked together all season long, and you've played together, and you've fought together, and you've struggled together, and you've won together, and you've lost together. But there's a sense of community. There's some of you out right now, you know, like you're like, you know, you're like in the grandparent stage of life, and you still keep in touch with your teammates from back in the day because you have such a strong sense of community. Why? Because you were in it together, right? And it's not just sports teams, it's the whole kind of thing. Like when I was, you know, listen, don't tell anybody this, but back in the day, I used to do like the plays back in the day when I was in high school, right? But you develop a sense of community because you're rehearsing together and you spend all this time together, and yeah, you get on each other's nerves, that happens, right? But you're spending this time together and you're working towards one goal together and you have a sense of camaraderie. Hey, we're in this together. How much more important is community when it comes to doing the things that God has called us to do? We're not just trying to put on a show. We're not just putting on a performance or playing a song. We're not just winning a game or winning a season. We're accomplishing the work of Jesus Christ. How much more important is that? And we need to have each other's backs, and that takes time. Now, let's just get real about this, all right? The less frequently that we meet together, the more time it takes to build community, right? That's why some of y'all have been here for about 5 years, and you're like, I don't even know that person's name. It takes time, right? The less frequently that you're here, the more time it takes to build a sense of community. Here's the secret that some of us have discovered here, okay? Meeting together as often as possible on a regular basis, whether it's an official church-sanctioned event or not, meeting together with your brothers and sisters in the faith, it helps tremendously. It helps keep us on task. It helps keep us encouraged. It helps keep us focused to be regularly engaged, intentionally seeking out that community. And I'm going to tell you what, in this modern day and age where we're all pulled in a million different directions, you are not, listen to me, you are not going to establish a sense of community with your church unless you're extremely intentional about it. You're not. It's not going to happen. I mean, you might show up on a Sunday morning and kind of appreciate, okay, that's what they're about, and that's great, but you're not going to develop a sense of friendship, family, community. What was Sean talking about? That family sense of the church. You're not going to develop that without intentionality. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to take an attitude. We all need to take an attitude that Sunday morning, it's just the beginning, right? It's just the beginning. Now, the Bible doesn't say, and Jesus doesn't say, you got to be here every single Sunday. Listen, go on vacation, do what you got to do. If you're sick, don't show up here on a Sunday morning if you're sick. Come on, right? We're about to enter, we go from summer into cold and flu season, right? You know what I mean? It's like vacation season becomes cold and flu season becomes vacation season again, and we never see it. Now, you got to make it a commitment to be here on Sunday. Listen, you can't be a part of the community if you're not physically a part of the community. Does that make sense? You know, there are some churches, maybe you went to a church like this when you were young. There are some churches that have like, well, on our record books, we have 617 members, but 20 people show up. No, we don't do that. You know what I mean? You're not actually part of the church unless you are a part of the church. What do I say to our missions teams? The Texas team, the Kenya team, those who've gone on these trips, you're spending this time, whether it's a week or 2 weeks together. I'm like, that is community. That is church. The challenge for us is to find ways to make that a reality in our day-to-day life, to making those intentional times to connect with other believers. And eventually, over time, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen on one Sunday morning. It's not going to happen after going to one Bible study. Eventually, over time, you begin to feel safe enough to share the reality of who you are and what you're struggling with and receive that encouragement and support. And eventually, you'll be able to support and encourage others. That's why we offer things like small group. I'm so deeply grateful that we now have a youth group starting up, aren't you? I'm so profoundly grateful for that, and I am profoundly grateful. Yeah, absolutely. Come on, yeah. Man, how much did we need that when we were teenagers? Maybe we didn't get it, but we all needed it, right? We all needed it, and now we have that here, and thank you, Sean, for making that happen. I'm so thankful to those of you who have made those youth events happen in the past. Thank you so much. We deeply value that, but to have an opportunity, because my goodness gracious, I don't know, is one stage of life more difficult than any other? Every stage of life comes with this. But to be a teenager, man, I remember that. It's just a few years ago. I remember that. It's rough, right? It's tough. And we hide so much. We hide so much of ourselves, and we play pretend. And it's like, no, we need to give our teenagers an opportunity where they can be supported and encouraged. And not just our teenagers, our men, our women, our families, every single one of us. We need that. We need that. Here's what you know. Here's what you've experienced. You already know that Sunday morning's not enough, right? You already know that. By Wednesday, you get yourself into trouble. You say, oh, man, I shouldn't be doing this. What am I? You know what I mean? It's not. We need to do that. And so right now, you'll see, we've got a few. Just a few for now. There's more coming. Don't worry. We've got a few officially church-sanctioned groups that you can connect with. That's great. That's awesome. We've got an officially church-sanctioned event next Sunday. And you might be thinking, well, I don't even have teenagers. This is like a youth launch. Just come to that. Intentionally begin to build relationships, friendships with people. Begin to build family here. It takes time. It takes intentionality. And let me be real with you. You don't have to be best friends with everybody in your church. You don't, okay? You don't. But you need to have a support system. Here's what I can tell you about us as a church, okay? Whether this is your first Sunday, whether you've been with us for 6 years, listen, we collectively, we want to be your support system. I know that's messy. I know it's tough to get into people's lives and what are they dealing with. And like when you get past like the church facade, you know the church facade, the happy face you put on Sunday mornings and really get into somebody's life. I know that's messy. We want to get messy, okay? We want to be there for you. We want to be your support system if you'll let us. So that requires intentionality on your part and a desire on the part of the collective. The desire is there. My encouragement to you is to find that next step, okay? Find that next step in building community. What does that look like for you? Does that mean you hang out for an extra 5 minutes and enjoy some of these delicious refreshments in the back, right? I got a thumbs up over there. Yeah, is that what that looks like? Does it mean saying hi to a stranger? Like, oh man, I've seen this person the past few, I don't know, let me just introduce. What does that look like for you to take that next step in building community? Will you be with us next Sunday? It's like, oh man, it's my Sunday afternoon. I guess, well, no, come celebrate. Come have a hamburger with a stranger, right? Come and do this thing. Get to know each other. What about these small groups that are happening? And I know this is a new thing. I'm so thankful that it's happening, the women's group that's meeting in the daytime. We've never done that before. It's a new thing. Eventually, we'll have some women's groups in the evening also. But this is awesome. If you're available to go to that, and if you're a woman, you got to be a woman. But if you're available and you're a woman, why don't you connect with that group? Why don't you do that? Gentlemen, listen, last school year, we kind of launched this whole men's small group thing on a regular basis. We're taking it to the next level this year. And really what we're looking for this time around is a commitment. Look at those weeks. Look at the number of weeks there. Will you be a part? Listen, we're not asking for a year. We're not asking for a lifetime. It's just a number of weeks. Would you commit to being a part of that Wednesday night men's group? Come on, guys, man up. Man up. Would you commit to being a part of that? For that, it's a confined amount of time, just for those weeks. And get to know some of these guys. Are you going to be best friends by the end of that? I don't know. But you'll be one step closer to having actual family support in the church for our youth. Oh, you got all this stuff to be doing. I know. There's a lot of options for you, man. Like, you guys don't even get it. Netflix wasn't a thing when I was a teenager, right? Social media wasn't a thing. The internet was barely a thing, right? So you might as well go to youth group because there's nothing else to do. But for you guys, it's different. You got to be intentional. Make a point to do that. And listen, parents, hey-o, you got to be intentional, too. Get them there. You got to say no to other things. No, they can't. We got to get them there so they can build that sense of community. And so, again, my question for you, my challenge to you individually is, what's your next step in building community? You got to take an intentional step. What's your next step in building community? We want to be your community. We want to be your family. And I believe, and I think we've seen this, right? This used to be just something I believed in theory, but I think we've seen this now. I believe that God will bless us the same way that he blessed the first church in Jerusalem that we read about in Acts. That if we really are sharing together, if we really are developing that sense of community, that God will daily add numbers to this, his church, his community. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus Christ, first off, I want to thank you for doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I want to thank you for paying the penalty, for paying off the debt that we owe to God. You have taken our place on the cross. You have died in our place. You have suffered in our place. You have made this tremendous sacrifice, Father God, in giving us your Son. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, we know that you have given us this responsibility, and through your Holy Spirit, we can do this work of being your revelation, of being your incarnation in this world. So, Father God, we pray that you would continue to develop a sense of community right here within this local church. Encourage that, nurture that, foster that. And I pray for each one of us, whether we've been here for 6 years or one Sunday, be with each one of us, God, and allow us to be able to identify what's the next step that we need to take in building community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.